Blog Talk Radio.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Brother Frank, and Brother Todd will be here in just a moment. And we are glad to be with you for another episode of The Remnant Call. And, you know, we have been at The Remnant Call now for several, I don't know, it's a good while now. And it's just getting more and more exciting doing this because there is so much that needs to be talked about right now. And so many people feel like they just aren't getting any word at all in their churches. And so The Remnant Call, by God's grace, will be a place that you as a believer will be able to come to often and find a solid word of encouragement from the Lord. And so we just want to welcome everybody. And Brother Todd is now here with us tonight. Say hello to everyone.
Why, hello, everybody.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we have had a, obviously, an interesting week. It is a new day. For some people, it's a very dark day. For other people, they're very happy after the election. And we want to talk a little bit about that this evening. And you might have seen on the program, Through the Ears of a Dead Man, tonight being the title. And I hope that this program tonight will challenge you on the way you listen to God and your hearing of his instructions for these last days. You know, you can go on to a ton of programs and listen to all kinds of people with amazing words from God. But the question is, have you heard from the Lord? Because it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what Todd say. It doesn't matter what any other wonderful program out there of watchmen that are you know, crying out to repent and turn back to the Lord because the hour is short. It matters what God is speaking to you. And if you don't know the Lord, if you're not hearing his voice, if you're not picking up the instructions that are detailed in his word for the last days, you might be surprised. The last thing we want anybody that listens to this program to do is to go away thinking that God doesn't speak to his people anymore. Because that's just simply not true. God does speak to his people. He speaks sometimes audibly. He speaks through a spiritual impression. He speaks through his word, but he is speaking, and he speaks directly to his people. It's one of the prophecies of the last day that God was going to pour out his spirit again, and there would be men that have dreams and visions, and God would become active. Now, at the same time, we see something else happening this day and age, and that is when we see all the false visions and the false words from the Lord. And that's to be expected, folks. Don't get discouraged when you see all kinds of false prophecies and false words from the Lord, because the devil is a counterfeiter. And so he knows that the true word of the Lord is coming forth in this hour. So he is obviously going to counterfeit that word to get you thrown off. But God doesn't want you to be thrown off. He wants you to be in touch with him. And if you're in touch with him, then the Lord is going to make sure that he takes care of you through these last days, all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And with that, I'm just going to say amen and hallelujah. And so as we begin tonight's program, Todd, just could you ask God to come in and bless? Because we're at a critical moment in our country's history. And we're at a critical moment as believers. And we need to make a decision. Who is it that we serve? And we need to know and understand the one that we serve, what his will is. And so, Todd, could you just pray for us tonight?
Yes. Lord, we sit here humbly before you, willing to be your servants. We're begging that you will use us, Lord, so that we can fulfill the Great Commission and our voices can, through this radio station, can go and it can help to show the light, show who you are to those who are dying in desperate need of truth, Lord. God, we pray that you be merciful to us and that you help us through the hard times and prepare us for the hard times, Lord, that are to come. God, use your refining fire on our characters so that we can be a representative of you here on earth as long as it lasts. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as you see, we have a new president-elect. That is Donald Trump. And there are many of you listening that voted for him. There are many that didn't vote. There are many of us who have struggled with having faith that either one of these candidates could do something that was right and godly. And then we remember how times in the past that God used men such as Cyrus and Nebuchadnezzar, people that weren't active believers, that had a, you know, especially Nebuchadnezzar, that had some serious issues, but he used them for his purpose. You know, there were a couple of lepers back in the day that were stuck outside the city. And they went to the Syrian army, if I remember the story right. And God used lepers to bring hope back from Israel to Israel, that there was a spoil to be had and that they could get some food again to eat.
Yeah.
And so God can use anybody. Maybe he's going to use Donald Trump to do some difference. But I'll tell you this right now, and I want you to listen to me closely. I don't care how much you profess to be a believer or to do the right thing. If you still embrace things that God calls an abomination, then you better look out. Folks, remember that as much as we want things to turn around, and we all do, I know, I served my country. Okay, I was in the U.S. Marines. I believe in this thing we call freedom. But at the same time, I serve a new general, a new leader, and his name is Jesus. And my faith is in him because I've read the word, and the word says that there's coming a day when the hearts of men will grow cold, that there will be a famine of hearing the true word of the Lord and the Lamb, that things that they, what they shall call good, they shall now call evil, and what they call evil, they will call good. And I see that day upon us. We've talked in other programs about the sign of Lot and how we've embraced this immoral, sexual, unable to feed appetite that's going throughout our country. Open rebellion through homosexuality, adultery, out of wedlock marriages, fornication. I mean, everything you can possibly think of, bestiality now that it's on the – it's just disgusting. We are now promoting as a country, and I say, woe unto us. God will still judge unless we put these things away. But I hope from the bottom of my heart, folks, and I mean this, I hope that Donald Trump does a good job. But that's not what I want to focus on. Politics right now really is not my concern at this second right now, because God sets up the kings and he takes them down. But he does reward people according to the fruit of their thoughts, and that's in the book of Jeremiah. And if the only thing we're watching on TV or listening to on the radio is evil and wicked, and then all of a sudden we're like, how could this happen? Well, sometimes we get what we deserve. But I want to talk about tonight, because I'm not trying to downplay that Donald Trump won. I mean, I hope he really does good. But I want to talk a little bit about the frustration that the American people have felt lately because the government doesn't listen to what they're saying. The media doesn't listen to what they're saying. I'm thankful for the internet. If it wasn't for the internet, we would be completely brainwashed if we listened to the modern day national media networks out there.
Yes.
State run, we should might as well say, because the WikiLeaks have proven the collusion between the media and the political parties that have been running. And I mean, it's just it's outrageous.
Yes, completely. I think WikiLeaks has a top 100 on their page. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, they are top 100.
Yeah. Top 100 scandals or something like that. A friend was telling me about it today. I'd have to go look at it. I'm pretty sure it's on their page. He was saying that Hillary Clinton's files, the stuff that they were talking about, are all on there. And it's more than enough to convict her if a prosecution were to actually look at it. I don't know. I haven't looked at it for myself yet. But, yeah, WikiLeaks seems to be a fountain of incriminating information.
Absolutely. And I would like to see nothing more than the Clintons come to justice. I went into the military under George Bush into boot camp. And I came out under Bill Clinton. Talk about getting robbed.
Mm.
And so, anyways, it was a, you know, as they say, the old Arkansas problem, you know, Arkansas suicide, where you shoot yourself in the back of the head.
Mm.
I think a lot of people have paid a dear price that have crossed the Clintons. Mm. And nothing more I'd like to see than them come to justice. But the point is that a lot of people are frustrated because no one was listening. And people are looking at the election and saying, this is what you get because you didn't hear. You have brought this stuff on yourselves. We elected the Republican parties. They said, give us the House, we'll do something. We give them the House, they did nothing. Give them the Senate, we'll do something. We give them the Senate, and they do nothing. And everybody feels like we're just being lied to because nobody is doing the right. See, they say they'll do the right thing, but then they don't do it at all. Now, I would like to hope that Donald Trump, I know he's a man of action. I do believe that, you know, whether like him or not, he can get some stuff done. But whether he'll do what he says he's going to do, well, time will tell that. But think about how angry and frustrated people have been because they haven't been listened to and they felt they've been lied to. And you can just see the American people angry. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, they feel everybody many times have felt like they've been robbed through there. And, you know, I look at all this and I wonder, how does God feel about us when we're supposed to be listening to him?
Mm.
I wonder if God gets frustrated when we say we're going to do things kind of like the government tells us.
Yeah.
Or we say we're going to do this or pray more or do whatever, and then we don't. And we feel like when the government or the media lets us down, or maybe work lets us down, we feel very hurt and offended. How dare they? I wonder how God feels when we do the same back to him.
I'm sure that God feels probably pretty hurt. Pretty hurt. I mean, hurt and just, it's got to be a certain kind of pain when your own creation is pretty much shutting you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you can imagine, you have kids. I don't. But when your kids don't listen to you, you get angry, you get frustrated, disappointed, even sad sometimes because they just won't listen. And, you know, they are part of your creation, you know, only by God's will. But if you can only imagine the Jesus, the one who died for you, so that you may be saved, so you can live for forever. You're just not listening to his voice. You're not listening to his story. That's got to kill him. There's got to be a pain we will never experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would like to suggest to you folks that the same thing we complain about, our government and our media and our work and things like that, and our church and our pastors, that they don't do, we are guilty of doing the same thing before God. Can we be honest tonight?
Hmm.
And it's often, I think one of the things a lot of people, they liked about Donald Trump is they just wanted somebody to just speak straight with them. That's why a lot of people liked the political incorrectness, because they're like, just tell me how it is.
Yes.
I'm so sick and tired of the lying. And I find it's easy. We feel the same way towards God. I mean, think about it. How often have you said, well, you know, I wish just God would speak plainly to me sometimes. Have you ever felt like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've said it to myself. Let me tell you something, Frank. I say it even to this day, but then I remember before my eyes were as open as they are now, and I'm not claiming to have anything that anybody else doesn't have. All I'm saying is I have a realization of just how horrible I was. Before they were open, I would ask that same thing, and I still realize that he was speaking to me in his word, and I wouldn't open up my mind to it until I finally did, and then I realized it's been here the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and a lot of times we're like, we just like, God, couldn't you just give me a dream? Like, you know, Lord, you know, we're getting ready to buy a car. Is this the one you want us to have? God, just put a word of knowledge right in my head. You know what I mean? Or Lord, if this is the right house, could I have a dream tonight, God, confirming that, that, you know, maybe a vision that you're going to, that this is the right thing to do? And it seems like so often that we struggle so much to get a word from the Lord. And it is honestly a fair question to ask, you know? I mean, don't you just want Jesus to just speak to you sometimes and just take all the guesswork out of the dilemma that we find ourselves in often?
Oh, of course. It would be such so easy. Just get us out of it, right?
Absolutely. There are times for me I just want him to just pop the answer right in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to see a vision or have a dream, and I'll just know, and it'll be clear as day. And it's interesting because you think like that, and then you read verses like in John 10:27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
Mm.
Okay, so now I'm thinking God wants me to hear his voice, but so often it seems like we don't hear him speak, and we get frustrated. And I want to kind of dig into this tonight to try to find out what it would truly take for us to hear God's voice. Because if you think about it, talking about the election here, we were frustrated when people wouldn't hear us, when the government wouldn't listen to us. And now here we are, God's talking to us, and I'm wondering, hey, are we listening to him?
Hmm.
Are we listening to him? And maybe you said, well, I've tried. But there seems to be something that's holding me back. Folks, I'm telling you right now, times are bad. Times are going to be – I'm sorry. I'm going to, you know, blow the smoke out of this room, because the truth is that – things are not just going to be all of a sudden rose petals and sugar plums, you know, when Donald Trump takes over.
That's right.
We have a fallen body of people in this nation that are embracing things that are considered unholy to God.
That's right.
So if this is what's going on, then why would we think for a minute that God is just going to naturally bless just because we've got a change in a person? Now, he may use that person to judge or to bring a change. But why all of a sudden would we think that? And so here I am, you know, wanting to know, why is it if God says that he wants me to hear my voice, and we certainly hear his voice, and we certainly know what it's like when someone doesn't listen to our voice, what is it that holds us up? And I want to turn tonight to a famous passage in the Bible, a famous story, and we're going to read some of the word tonight, because I know this is a lot of the word we're going to get into, but we've got to look at this story, because if you will listen to what the Bible says tonight, it can change your life. It can change your life. And so John chapter 11, if you've got your Bible, if you got the sword of the Lord there with you, if you could just turn to John chapter 11 and verse 1. And Todd, could you just take us up to verse 4 there in John chapter 11, verse 1 to 4?
Of course. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby."
All right, I want you to pick up this where we're at right now. So here was Mary was there, and she sends word that her brother Lazarus is sick, and sent saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but just being known as he whom God lovest, isn't that a beautiful thing?
That, yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful, isn't it? And so Jesus listens to this. And he lets everybody know, for at the beginning of this story, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of the God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. And so what he is saying is, don't worry. There's no, this is not a final death that's coming out of here. Okay. It's not going to kill. This is for what's happening now is strictly for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified by this, what is going to happen. And Jesus, and I you need to understand that, because this is the beginning of the story. He makes it clear. And so Todd, if you can go ahead and just start reading there in verse 5. And we're going to take it down a little way, all the way to verse 21. So you got your reading legs on, I hope.
Of course. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." You want me to go down?
Yeah, take it all the way to 21.
Okay. "Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him.' Then said Thomas," which was called
Didymus,
"unto his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.'"
All right. Amen. Thanks for that, Todd. Sorry, I know that was a lot of scripture, but we got to pick up what's going on here. First and foremost, as we started to read this section, you pick up one thing. It's interesting. Jesus doesn't get bothered about stuff, does he?
Not at all.
No, he knew what was going on.
He was cool.
He knew God's plan. He understood what was happening. And so he stood there still 2 more days before he left. And so he was trying to tell his disciples, don't worry, Lazarus is sleeping. And that's a whole other story in the Bible to look at the way death and sleep are put together. It says, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light." He's saying we need to, you know, walk in the day. That just reminded me of last week's program, not to get off topic, but we were talking about creation and literal days. And so some people say, well, that day could have meant, you know, 1,000 years. And Jesus says here pretty much straight up that a day, there's 12 hours in the day. And that means there's 12 hours in the night. They were literal days, not to get sidetracked, but right. I remembered about right. that. And so finally he says, "Look, guys, you're not hearing me. He's dead. Okay. He's dead." But this is what's interesting. He says, "And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So here Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake, that I, for your sake, I was glad I was not there. The intent that you believe. Jesus was about to teach them a lesson. Okay. He had a bigger plan in it. And so here Thomas, which we so often call doubting Thomas, you know, because he didn't believe, I think a guy gets a bad rap. Here Thomas is like, let's just go. If we die, we die. You know, we're ready to go. Yeah. And so that was kind of cool. But he finally gets there. Okay. He's told them now from the beginning, remember, this is so that I can be glorified. This is not to death. You know, this is not final. But that God is going to be glorified, all right? He sends that, tells his disciples after he gets the word. I'm assuming the person came to deliver the word, probably went back to them, and I would figure that he would have told Mary and Martha what Jesus had said. That's a guess. I don't know that for sure. But he gets there, and then Martha comes out running. And this is the interesting part. Mary stays in the house, and Martha comes out, and the first thing she does is she blames Jesus for dying. Martha blames the Lord. She said, Lord, if thou hast been there, my brother had not died. I find it so interesting that every time something bad happens, the first person we want to blame is God. Why is God doing this to me? I don't understand why God is treating me like this. I mean, doesn't he love me? And so here she's blaming Jesus because her brother had died. And, oh, man, the Lord just gets such a bad rap. Yes. So often.
Yes.
And so, but then in verse 22, it says, but I know that even now, and this is Martha still speaking, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And so she's saying, okay, Lord, all right, you should have been here. It's your fault. Okay, but I'm going to give you a second chance, right? And so I know that. Thank you for that, Martha. We appreciate it. If you do ask it right now, you know, I believe that the Lord will do whatever. And so Jesus says back to her in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Now, I don't know about you, but you can't get much plainer than that.
Right.
A brother shall rise again. So Martha says unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Okay. And that's a great pre-tribulation rapture, you know, if you want to throw that out the window because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The pre-tribulation rapture, you know, there's no resurrection until the last day. Okay. Mm. That's when it's happening. Sorry, not to get sidetracked here. So he says, though, at the last day, he will rise again. All right. And so Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. So Martha says, Lord, I believe that if you ask God right now, he'll do whatever you ask. Right. And Jesus says, thy brother will rise again. She said, well, I know that.
Yeah.
She doesn't even want to believe what Jesus is saying.
Just missed it.
Yeah. Exactly. And so Jesus continues on in verse 26, and he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Now, that's an interesting word because we know it's important. It's appointed to all men to die once and then the judgment. And Jesus says, if you believe in me, you shall never die. How do you reconcile that? Well, we know the way you reconcile that so simply when the Bible says, don't fear him that can kill the flesh, but fear him who can destroy the soul in hellfire. Death is not final until the soul is right. Extinguished in hell's fire.
Yes.
So, you know, just because you die and go asleep, as you know, and sometimes it's referred to in the Bible, you know, you are not finished until the soul is destroyed in hell's fire. Now, verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. So Jesus reaffirms and says, listen, don't you believe in me? I am the resurrection. She says, oh, yes. Okay, Lord, I believe in you. Yes, you are the Son of God. You're the one to come. I'm affirming you. You know, praise the Lord. You know, everything's great. If you say it, the Lord will do it. Hallelujah. Whatever's great. She agrees with Jesus, what he's saying. She goes back to her sister. Now, you would think, I'm just going out on a limb here. You would think she would have said to her sister, it's going to be fine.
Right.
Lazarus is going to rise again. Everything's under control. No worries, right?
Right.
If the Savior just told you that, would you not said that to somebody?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Without a shadow of a doubt. He just said everything was going to be fine.
Exactly. Verse 29 through 32. Todd, can you just pick it right up there? Because this is just blows my mind.
As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.
Oh, my lands. Can you believe that?
Here she goes again.
Here's her other sister coming out, okay? Martha first blames Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus gives Martha a clear word back. Martha, don't worry. Your brother is going to rise again. But he says, stop. Stop. I'm the resurrection. You don't need to worry about this, right? She goes back, and now her sister comes out, and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother hadn't died. And so now Jesus is getting blamed a second time. Hmm. And nobody is paying attention to anything that Jesus said. He starts in the beginning saying, this is for God's glory. No worries.
Right.
He tells simply to Martha, don't worry, he's going to rise again. She goes back. Here comes Mary out blaming him again, and nobody is hearing a word that Jesus is saying. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty frustrated about right now.
Yeah, yeah. He probably, a lesser man probably would have said some sharp words.
Yeah, throwing up his hands and be like, forget it.
Yeah.
I'm done with y'all.
Yeah.
I'm done. When Jesus, therefore, in verse 33, saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept.
Hmm.
Now, this is interesting. Jesus is trying to tell them what he's going to do. Don't worry, your brother's going to rise again. And here, they're still blaming Jesus because their brother died.
Hmm.
Jesus can't get his word through to his own beloved believers, but when he sees their suffering, our loving God breaks down and weeps.
That is a loving God, isn't it?
I don't understand that kind of love sometimes. How such a ignorant, rude, unlistening child, son or daughter that we have all been, that God would still be so utterly merciful. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
It said there that he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He was more than outwardly troubled. It got him on the inside that his children were, that his believers were so hurt. That's the ultimate empathy.
He was crushed. They weren't listening to him. Yet at the same time, he still is sympathizing with them. Because he's broken himself. Mm. Our God weeps. Our God is broken. He's broken for the sin of this world and the death and destruction that's going on. He's broken in his spirit over him. He says, come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the God we serve. And so here he's at. He's like, where have they laid them? And they're like, come and see. And so now we've got setting the stage. Jesus is going towards the tomb where Lazarus is at. And now he's got this crowd of people that are gathering around there, and they're looking at him. And listen to what comes from the crowd. Listen to what comes from the church at that time, right? Because these are Jews. They're believers in God. It says then in verse 36, it says, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Now the whole, many in the crowd are now blaming Jesus. It's like God can't do anything right. We're so fast to blame him for everything that's going on. Now it's not only Mary and Martha. Now it's the crowd. They're all into it. Look at, he could have done, what's wrong with this man? He's so, you know, he could have saved him. And Jesus in his brokenness. Verse 38, it says, "Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave." This is, when it says in the Bible that he's groaning within himself, his guts are turning inside of him. He's hurt. He is feeling the pain that we feel. And Jesus is coming there, seeing the lost. And you often wonder, does God truly sympathize? Oh, believer, look at this word right here. He not only sympathizes it, he feels it in his inward parts. And God is broken. And he cometh to the grave in verse 38. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been there 4 days." And so Jesus, he just had told Martha, "Your brother's going to rise again. He's going over there so he can raise him up." And Martha said, "What are you doing? He stinks." And the verse 40, where I can hear and feel the emotion of Jesus' voice, when he said, "Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." And you're like, Jesus, like, come on. Come on. I've been trying to tell you. This place is a mess. We're all broken right now, and I can't get you to even believe a single word. You like to praise me with your mouth, but when I try to tell you clearly, you don't hear what I'm trying to say. And Jesus is like, come on. I'm trying to say something here. And I look at what's going on, and we keep complaining about nobody's listening to us, and our pastor doesn't hear us at church, and we're not getting fed, or we're can't, you know, God's not listening, and the media doesn't listen, and nobody cares, the government, our bosses like that. And Jesus is trying to speak to his people in these last days to wake up, and I'm wondering who is listening out there tonight. Folks, bad things are going to happen. God may be calling people out to leave this country. You know, he called the Jews to leave before they were destroyed over in Germany. That's fact now. They know that there was, the warning went out, but people couldn't believe it would happen. They wouldn't listen. God has warned so many times in the past, just like he warned in Sodom and Gomorrah. His mercy was right there when they told Lot to get out, and Lot tries to relay the message, and it said he was one who was, they thought he was one who mocked. They wouldn't want to hear it. Judgment was ready to come, and God might be calling you to make a change in your life. He might be calling you to leave this country. Oh, yes, folks, I do believe God might be calling people out. Right now, I'm asking the Lord, if you want me to leave, show me, Lord, where to go.
Yes.
Now, people say, well, you don't need to run and panic. There's no, folks, it's not about running and panic. It's about doing what God asks to do.
Yes.
You need to know, if the Lord wants you here, then you better not leave. But if the Lord wants you to go, you better not stay. And how are you going to know if you're not listening to his voice? And you can see these are people that were actually with the Lord.
They were right there.
And they're still not hearing him. And how can we expect to be blessed and to understand God's will if we're not listening, if we're on our own agenda, if we're doing what we want to do? See, the media, their problem is they're doing what they want to do. The government, they're doing what they want to do. They love their power. They love their hunger. And, oh, yeah, by the way, every 4 years we'll come get your vote again. Oh, yeah, we'll help your community out. Yes, we will. Then we won't fulfill any of our promises. But in 4 years, we'll come back and re-lie to you again. And then we'll help you get your vote. And then we won't do it again. And it's the same vicious cycle over and over and over and over again. And you look what's happening, folks. There's absolute distress in the streets. Those people who talk about wanting peace and we all need to be harmony and we need to not be racist and misogynist and all these things like that and violent and all that. That we just need peace are now the same people that are out rioting in the country.
Oh,
and
yes.
And we think things are going to get better.
Yes.
Wake up. Smell the coffee. Jesus is coming and things are going to get bad. And God's trying to get a message through to his people about being prepared for the times that we live in. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like the Lord might be a little frustrated right now.
I feel like the time of his frustration has passed, and now his wrath is about to get poured out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And judgment starts first in the house of God. Verse 41, it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." It's amazing how God, the Father, is always listening. And see, Jesus knew that his Father listened. Why? Because he listened to his Father. He said he wasn't even here to do his will, but that which his Father told him to do, that's what Jesus was doing. Verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it." So Jesus is saying it out loud. "That they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And I look at this whole story that day, and I'm seeing Jesus trying to give a message out that this is what has happened is for God's glory, and Lazarus would rise again, and no one is hearing him that day except one person only heard the voice of Jesus that day. And his name was Lazarus. Only through the ears of a dead man can a believer, a person, hear the true voice of the Lord. It was only Lazarus who heard Jesus' voice that day. See, in John 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And so here Jesus is saying, is like, look, listen to me. If a seed of corn, it's got to go down into the earth. And if it dies, and when it dies, it'll break open. And when it breaks open, then finally it'll be able to receive that nutrient into it. But if it doesn't die, it will just stay alone. But when it dies, finally it opens up so that it can receive those nutrients and then grow into a beautiful stalk of corn. And Jesus is saying the same thing. Unless you're willing to die to your agenda, to yourself, to be broken in your own heart. Folks, if you, I'm sorry, but God needs to break us sometimes. Because when you're broken, the Lord can finally get through. But when you got that hard heart and you got your own agenda and you're asking God to meet you on your terms instead of His, Todd, you've been dealing that with that. You've dealt with that with a friend of yours who you've been trying to witness to, and he wants to meet God on his own terms, right?
Well, yeah. But you know, everybody knows that, not everybody, obviously, but it just doesn't happen that way. You can't set the rules for it. It's like if you're going to go meet a owner of a company that you want to work for, and you tell him that, you know, I'm only going to work for you if you come to my house dressed in khakis, and then you give me a very outlined, detailed reason why I should come work for you. The guy would laugh at you in his face and I don't need you. You need me. You come to my place of work, you dress accordingly, and you hand me a resume, and you tell me what it is that you need, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. A good point. And so Jesus, in verse 25, he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto death. And Jesus is saying, if you love this earthly life, then you're going to have some real problems. But if you're willing to lose your life, your carnal nature, what he's saying is if you're willing to put aside this world, and you're willing to pick up my cross, and you're willing to do what I ask you to do. And you're, when he says hateth his life, meaning you don't want the things of this world. You love the world less than you love Jesus.
Right.
And it says, then and only then shall you keep it unto life eternal. That's what it says. You can't to hear the Lord's voice when you are on your own agenda. Folks, I know that there are, at the end of the world, it doesn't matter what someone told you in church about God. It doesn't matter what you heard or thought. It matters what God actually says. And you better get in the Word and figure out what God says versus what somebody is teaching you. Because if you rely upon man or woman, you could be lost so easily. But God's saying that if you will rely upon Him and you are willing to die to yourself, then you will truly live. See, folks, you can't kill a dead man.
Right.
You don't have to fear those who can kill the flesh. You're dead already.
Yes.
To yourself. But you're alive to me. Only after a miracle would the people believe on Jesus that day. John chapter 5, verse 25 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There is coming a time, and it happened in Jesus' day also with Lazarus. And actually, there was a mini resurrection, if you remember, in Matthew talked about when Jesus was died. There was a tiny resurrection that happened then,
25,
too.
Right.
Yeah, and Matthew when he was crucified. Yeah,
yeah.
It was at the end. And so Jesus, the dead are going to hear. But the key, folks, tonight is that if you want to hear the Lord's voice, and I'm telling you, he still speaks to people today like he did back in times of old, if you will allow him to. But you got to be patient, and you need to be willing to turn off the distractions around you, so that you can listen to that still small voice that is behind you. And you got to get to know his voice. But sometimes we are so easy to give up when we don't get it our way right away.
Yes.
And that's the problem in the society that we live in. We want instantaneous gratification, justification. We want instantaneous reward for anything we do. Yet if it comes for even a moment of struggle, we get so upset. You know, there was a man, and he had found a cocoon of an emperor moth, and he took it home and he watched it until the day that the moth began to start to emerge from the cocoon. One day he sees just a small opening appear, and for several hours this moth began to struggle but couldn't seem to force its body past a certain point. So the man was looking at it, deciding there's something wrong, obviously, here. So in his moment of weakness, or he saw the compassion of this moth, he decided that he was just going to take a pair of scissors and try to do the right thing and just maybe open up a small little snippet around the remaining cocoon, and then the moth could just emerge easily out of there. And so finally, when he opened up that cocoon with those scissors, the moth just came right out, and its large and swollen body and the wings were small and really shriveled up. And so he expected that in a few hours, the wings would spread out in their natural beauty, but they didn't. Instead of developing into a creature free to fly, the moth spent its life dragging around swollen body and shriveled up wings. See, it was the constricting cocoon and the struggle necessary to pass through the tiny opening that are God's way of forcing fluid from the body of that moth into its wings. That merciful snippet that the man thought he was doing by relieving that moth's struggle was actually, in the end, a cruel act. See, sometimes the struggle is exactly what we need as believers.
Makes us strong. Makes us very strong.
That's right.
It helps us to center our focus where it belongs. It's a practice, pretty much. You can't have refined gold without a fire. You can't. You just can't do it. Everything the good comes from being under pressure, whether it's a good job. Pressure being schooling, however many years it was, to a diamond? It needs to be put under pressure. Coal formation needs to be put under pressure. I mean, the analogies continue and continue. Everything good and useful seems to be brought out of being under pressure or distress.
Absolutely. Folks, you're right. It does take pressure, and pressure often brings forth beautiful things and helpful and useful things. I know sometimes we want out of the struggle because we can't hear God's voice right away. But I'm here to tell you tonight, he still speaks to his people. But if you are willing to lay down your carnal life, if you're willing to put away the distractions of this world, if you are willing to die to self and seek God with all your heart, folks, he will talk to you. But it takes patience, because there's a fleshly voice that will come up immediately and try to tell you what to do. But there's the patience for those who wait upon the Lord. If he said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, then take that to the bank. Remind God, show him in his word, Lord, you said you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, and that's what I'm going to do, Lord. That's what I'm going to do, because I know that you said your sheep know your voice. And so, Lord, I'm going to keep seeking you and knowing and believing that when it's the right time, you will speak to me. Because, folks, times are tough and they are tight. And I know that there's this great sense of maybe the world's going to be a better place now. I find so many watchmen that have been out there for years are now all of a sudden think that Donald Trump is just the be-all to end-all, and I'm glad for you. But the truth be told is we need to be ready, because at a moment when they think not, when they shall say peace, peace, that's when destruction will come. And this country is not exempt. And you cannot continue to live in unholy and ungodly ways and think that the Lord will not judge. Eventually, the cup fills up and the wrath will be poured out.
Yes.
But for those who are seeking God, well, he will take care of those that belong to him.
Right. And don't think for a moment that there's a respite in store for you to take your time. The only reason why I say this is not a scare tactic, but it's only because of fact. You don't know when your last day on earth will be. Your search for God and your search for the truth, it must happen quickly. Not saying it's going to conclude quickly. You'll be doing it for the rest of your life. But it's engaging into the act of that search. That's what God wants us to do. And, you know, you can't do that without him. And God knows you can't get through it without him either. So he is with you, child. He is always with you. So just don't take for granted the time that you haven't had to suffer for what you may or may not have done throughout your lifetime. Consider it grace and beg and plead for God's continued mercy as you search for him.
Absolutely. Folks, there was a fear of Donald Trump winning that I heard another man bring up. I think it was on True News. It was a very interesting program we'd listened to. And he brought up that he had a fear. And I happen to agree with him that his worry was if Hillary Clinton did win, that the church would let up, that the believers would get relaxed and at ease. Folks, this is not the moment to be at ease. This is the moment to be on our knees and to be ready and waiting and willing to go wherever God calls you. Mm. Your final chapter has not been written yet. Seek the Lord. Know and understand that when he said, "My sheep hear my voice," that is exactly what he meant. God speaks to his people. Are you listening tonight? Are you listening? You know, I'm so thankful for my earthly dad, because I remember something he told me years ago. He said, "Son, even if you need to forsake me, you do it for the Lord."
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I feel blessed to have an earthly father that would say something like that to me. Because he valued the relationship with God more than he valued his relationship even with his son or his son back, because he knew that if his son was focused on the Father, he would be okay. And so, Dad, I just want to say thank you for that, and I love you. And I appreciate all the wonderful things and all the prayers you prayed for me through the years when I was living in the devil's kitchen for all those years. You never gave up. And you taught me to rely upon God for everything. And I love you for that, Dad. And folks, I want to tell you right now, times are going to change. It doesn't matter how good a president does if the people are in rebellion against him. And it doesn't matter how much a believer claims to know Jesus if they don't listen to a thing he's got to say. If you've been that person, I want to challenge you tonight to repent. Ask God to forgive you, and let's make a change in this. The Lord is in the business of saving souls, and he's a specialist at those who look unsavable. God is calling us to an hour like we have never known. You know, I want to end with a poem this evening, and it goes like this. God hath not promised skies ever blue, flower-strewn pathways, always for you. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But he hath promised strength from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. Your God is fighting for you, but he's trying to get a message through to his people in these last days that we need to be ready to meet our God. He's coming soon, but things are going to get bad first. But you don't have to fear when the master is on your side. no one can stand against you. Folks, with that, we just want to encourage you, check out our archives. We had a great program last week with Brother Hovind, and we had Benjamin on a few weeks before, and hopefully we've got some more coming in the future. Just going to be excited. But the Remnant Call, we are here to call the remnant from all churches. For those who want to know the deeper things of God, it is time. This is the hour. We're blowing the trumpet in Zion. And until the next time, this is Brother Frank and Brother Todd saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.